First reading this morning is taken from the first book of Kings, reading from chapter 3, verses 3 to 14. 1 Kings, chapter 3, reading from verse 3. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry on my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never be anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you all you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you'll have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then turning to the New Testament reading, Luke chapter 10. Luke 10, reading verses 21 to 24. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those whom the Son chose to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And may God add his blessings to these from his holy word.
Let us pray. Lord, we come to your table, to the feast, to the worship. We come to meet you, in the word from scriptures, the word made flesh, and the word which your spirit of wisdom, puts into our hearts. Lord, help us to see your word alive in our world today. In your name we pray. Amen. That's a new term, a new start for so many people this week, and of course for Junior Church, and all things new are happening around us. It's a feast to which we are truly all welcome. We are all vagabonds. We are all traveling through this world in different ways. And we might not call ourselves vagabonds, but maybe other people would. Maybe other people recognize in us a movement, a journey that we've not quite managed to sort yet, and that we are still searching for the right way and the right path. For those of you who have met Sophia running around the church, and those of you who just met her today, Sophia means wisdom. And sometimes you wonder at the wisdom of her running around the church. But she, perhaps, for today, for us, exemplifies the movement of the Spirit. It will not be restrained or held down. And the more we try and hold it down, perhaps the more trouble we actually get into, because we think we are in control. And we try to hold on to God and show Him how we want things done. But the wisdom of God doesn't work like that. And today is all about trying to understand a little more about what the wisdom of God is like and what it means for us and what it's asking us to do. I'm not for one moment suggesting that you all get up, take your socks and shoes off and run around the church. But perhaps that might be good for us too. Not least because we might meet other folk in the different corners that we've never seen before in our life and wonder who on earth they are. A new term, a new way of wondering what it is that God is asking us to do. Because if we are all vagabonds, or if somewhere in that last song we can identify ourselves and say that is us at the moment, then we know that when we come to that feast and come to worship and come to meet God, we will be changed. Because that's the promise of the Spirit. We will be changed not because we are bad and we have to be absolutely different, but because we are growing. We are all growing in wisdom. Some of us are growing in other ways as well, and that's fine. But we are growing in stature in our faith, or at least we should be. Discipleship is vital to our journey of faith, or else we're just sitting on a park bench somewhere and watching the world go by. We can be in such a rush, and we can miss such wonderful moments of glory and peace and wonder, especially, I think, in today's culture. The minute we see, someone famous, or the minute that we see a glorious picture, a scenery that we think, wow, look at that, we reach, most of us, of every generation, reach for our phone, for the camera, to take a selfie, or to take a picture, or to send it onto Facebook, or to say, look at this. And it's not just food before people, but sometimes scenery, rainbows, glorious events and things that are happening, and we want to share it. But perhaps in the rush to share it, we forget to enjoy it. We forget to stop for that moment and simply absorb into the technology we have in our heads and say, isn't this spectacular? And can we meet our God here? And as we meet Him, can we give Him a chance to get a word in edgeways? And to help us to realize once more the glory of creation, the glory of that moment, the glory of being in that company and with that family and with those friends, rather than tagging people saying, I'm here with. Imagine if we could just tag people saying, I'm here with God. I am here with my God, my Savior, and He is with me. Because those moments of prayer, which we've talked about in those last weeks, are incredibly important and vital and essential to our well-being. And He is always there welcoming us. Every vagabond, no matter how we want to describe ourselves or how others describe us, His arms are constantly open to welcome us and to see us and to say, you are mine. I love you. To be with that moment in God, what would we do in that FaceTime with God? Even if we have to consider it in technology of today, you have a FaceTime with God, a prayer time, a moment of consideration of who He is. We praise Him and we worship Him. The first thing we do in our services, acknowledge that God is God and we are His. And isn't that incredible? He loves us totally. And in that moment of praise and worship, we then find that we have that relationship where we can speak to Him and ask Him. And when Solomon had that FaceTime, he was a young man, a boy, he says, a child, who is to become king, who is now king, following in his father's footsteps, following in David's footsteps, but following the previous kings of David and Saul. He's now being asked by God, what can I do for you? What would you like? And they might like a good shake if you're a guide dog at the back there and just say, oh, this is boring, let me get through. Or like Solomon, you might think, what I need is, what would you say? Imagine you are about to come prime minister, first minister, el presidente, whatever it is you want to be in your dreams and fantasies, what you're going to be this leader, and what would you ask God for? I think quite often we would look to the problems that are before us, and perhaps we'd say to God, well, what I would want, if I was going to be in that position now, I would want there to be a really positive, wonderful, excellent outcome to Brexit. I would want the refugees to have secure and stable homes and loving families. We might see the actual problems that are before us and think, we could solve this, we could solve that, we could solve this other thing, and wouldn't that be absolutely amazing? But Solomon is wise even in his own time before he asks for wisdom, and he says to God, no, I want wisdom. I think if I was asked what I would want if I was going to be such a leader, I would say, well, I don't want to be such a leader. Because the enormity of it is just incredible. And it's not just the day, the problems of today that would be coming. We don't know what the problems of tomorrow are going to be. We don't have a crystal ball and we can't see what we're going to be faced with the next day. And so to ask for wisdom is not taking Solomon out of it and saying, Lord, you sort it out. You sort out Brexit, you sort out the refugees, you sort out Syria, you sort out the Middle East, you sort out all these problems, and I will just stand back and tell you what it is that I want you to do. Because we have found also in going through the Lord's Prayer that standing back doesn't actually do it. We have to be part of God's will. We have to be in there with him. He's not just going to do things for us. He is saying, I will work with you, you will work with me, and let's see what we can achieve together. And when Solomon asks for wisdom, he is not saying, I want out of this. You deal with it. He's saying, use me where I am. Do not take me away from that table. Do not take me away from that discussion, but put me in the center of it with your wisdom intact. And perhaps more and more, if we took God into our problems and our difficulties, if we took God in there, first of all, without waiting until it's a last draw and we're thinking, what can I clutch to next? Oh, there's God. Let's ask God. If you go to him constantly and say, what is it that we can do? And it's not always a fact of being able to do something actively immediately. Sometimes it's saying we need patience in this. We need to wait. We need to be constant. We need to be the people whom others can look at and realize they're not moving away from where their faith puts them. They are there with us for all time. They're not there just for a quick fix. Because don't people want a quick fix? We can wax and wane. People can get on our wick. But when we've got someone called Sophia playing with candles, we know that the light of the world is in safe hands. The wisdom that Solomon asked for is a wisdom that says, God, you are important and you are the one who has the answers to all that we need. Could we ask for that wisdom, wherever we are, whatever age we are, the wisdom to be patient, the wisdom of peace, the wisdom of realizing that some things we think are foolish are not so foolish, the ability to be distracted by what life is telling us, the understanding that we don't have the answers and that our way is just not always the best way. Sometimes other people will come and do that. But Jesus, when we come to that passage from Luke, and this is Jesus at prayer, even Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, prays to God. He loves that relationship he has with his Father, and he doesn't take it for granted. But he goes continually to pray to God and spend time with him. And in this moment of prayer, Jesus is rejoicing in the people around about him and his disciples. And he's rejoicing that God has shown his wisdom and his amazing power and given faith to those who are considered foolish. We don't really like being considered as foolish people, do we? We don't like it when folk look down on us and say, you don't understand, do you? You've not got it. You don't live in the real world. I don't like it when people say to me, How stupid you are to believe in God. How could you be so crazy and so foolish and so, just madness. I don't like it. But the only thing I can do about it is show people why it is important, why it is real, why I think it is absolutely the one way to go, and why I believe it is the biggest part of my life and should be the biggest part of everyone's life, no matter what the faith is. Because we don't have the knowledge, and we don't have the wisdom of how to use that knowledge unless we ask the Master and say, what is it we do with this? When Jesus says you've hidden this wisdom from the wise, it's not saying that he doesn't want them to know. It's kind of hidden in plain sight. I'm here. He keeps shouting to people. And folk keep saying, let's work this out on paper, how we can explain what we have just seen or heard or experienced. I've experienced God's love. I've experienced something mysterious that I can't explain and don't understand. Let me get a bit of paper out. And I'm sure if I work hard enough, I can explain it in terms of physics or chemistry or biology or astronomy or something. Why don't we just get to the point of realizing that faith is believing in what we cannot explain or understand? Faith is what has brought us here. Faith is what gets into our hearts and makes us come to worship. Faith is what gets in there and makes us wiser than all the great people of wonderful wisdom who look down on us and say, how can you believe? And when Jesus says you've revealed this to the children, to the foolish, he is using the word which means unschooled, unlearned. It's not about getting a degree. It's not about getting exams. It's not about knowledge. Wisdom is about looking at the world and seeing people, as human beings, each and every one of them. No matter if they have been with you all your days or if they have come from a different land where they have fled with only their lives intact and only just, to see them as human beings and people whom God loves and whom he's asking us to love as much as anyone else. The truth is hidden in plain sight, and it's for us to reveal, not only to ourselves, but to other people. Jesus is telling us, be smart, ask for wisdom, ask for that power which tells you the journey. Because it's not the destination that's important. It's how we get there. It's how we travel. It's not knowing the route. The sat-nav might get you there, it might not. The wisdom is knowing why you're going in the first place. The wisdom is knowing why it's important to get there. The wisdom is knowing who to listen to and whom not to. Because there are wise, wise people in this world, by their own description usually, who will tell you they know all the answers. And then there's the people of faith who in all humility realize that the power is not in us but lies in the hands of God, and Jesus came to show us that. Our wisdom has already turned the world upside down. We have made such a mess of it that we've turned it upside down, and sometimes it feels like we're just clinging on by our toes upside down to try and remain alive and something like well. But if we sing that song, turning the world upside down, it means turning it back to the way that God intends it to be. Getting it back on track and getting it back to being loving, accepting, inclusive, merciful, graceful, and then peace will surely come. If we go from our prayers and realize that we are part of the answer, then perhaps we can leave from here and be part of the answer for our community, for our world, for our families too, and for those around us. This wisdom that God talks of, that he gave to Solomon, this wisdom that comes at us from all different angles, and sometimes we wonder where it's going to take us. You know, sometimes we have to go with the flow, God's flow. And sometimes we have to let go of the things we're hanging on to, which seem so precious. The Holy Spirit of God, wisdom, is a free agent. And we have tied it and restrained it and held it. And you know what? When we let it go, I'm scared too. Because I don't know where it's going to lead us. When we let it go, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where it's going to take the church or me or you. But I know it'll be a good place. I know the journey's fun. And I know that he'll look after us and care for us. And he doesn't want us to be ill. He doesn't want us to be meet with any challenges we can't deal with. But it's wisdom and humility. Can we find the humility in our prayers to ask for God's wisdom, to ask for his direction, and to realize that when we do, we have it all. You want it all? It's here, hidden in plain sight, ready for each and every one of us. And then we take real hope into the world. And wouldn't that be a gift worth giving? In Meekness and Majesty, the hymn that we are about to sing, we hear about wisdom unsearchable. It's his wisdom, and we don't have to search for it. It's a gift to you, to me, and to us, to his church, to his people, the world round, to all of creation. We don't have all the answers. He does.